Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, thank God for another privilege and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through our minds and speak through our lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and covenant with you, Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to Hebrews chapter 12. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to begin reading from verse 5 through 11. And we're going to continue our teaching on who the Lord loves, he chastens. Who the Lord loves, he chastens. Amen. All right, Hebrews 12, beginning at verse number 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My sons, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have been partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have human fathers who have corrected us, and we paid them respects. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peacefulness fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Amen. Again, we're teaching on the chastening of the Lord. Now, we found out that also chastening could be training. And that word chastening means to discipline, to train, to instruct. Amen. And to do that in a childlike manner. Chastening is training. Please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to read verse number 16. And it says in this statement, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, that word instruction in this verse, in the Greek, is the same word translated as chasten in Hebrews 12, our foundational scripture. So we could read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 like this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for chastening in righteousness. We just interchange instruction with the word chastening because chastening and instruction, they're synonyms. You can interchange them. So we could say for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for chastening in righteousness. Amen. Again, chastening is instruction. Instruction is not punishment. Now, another facet of the chastening of the Lord is found in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Please go there. Ephesians chapter 6. And we shall read verse number 4. And it says, and you fathers. So he's addressing this to fathers. Because he says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now it tells us, interesting, it tells the fathers, do not provoke your children, or do not cause them to anger and do things in anger. It says, but to train them in the admonition of the Lord. Now the word training in Ephesians 6 is also the same Greek word for chastening in Hebrews 12. To train is the same as to instruct or to point in the right directions. Training, instructing, and chastening all refer to the same thing. The best way to relate to this is to think about faithfulness. God is teaching us all the time through his examples and through his own faithfulness about the fact that we should be faithful. Turn your Bibles right quick to Psalm 36. Psalm 36. We're talking about faithfulness, the best way to relate to this. So Psalm 36 and 5, and it says this, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. So God's faithfulness is so awesome that it reaches above the clouds, to the clouds and above. Amen. Now also go to Psalm 89, the book of Psalm 89. And let's look at verse number 33. And it says, nevertheless, my loving kindness, and I will not utterly take from you, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. So God's faithfulness never fails. It's just like his word. He's true to it. Amen. Now, however, Some people have heard the word, but they have not let it contact or make contact with their spirits. They've heard the word because faith comes by hearing, but they have not let it make contact with their spirits. They are unfaithful to the things of God because their word is not any good. Because of this, God cannot trust these people. He loves them because God loves the whole world, but he cannot trust them. God cannot give some Christians some things because they cannot handle them, even though they have prayed and confessed that they have those items. But see, our Father is a wise man, a wise Father. He cannot allow these things to go to them because they are unfaithful. There are some people who have been saved 20, 25, 30 years, and they still cannot be trusted. They may wonder why God let so-and-so have that or do that, and they didn't let me do it. Well, it goes back to the principle that he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. If you cannot be trusted in what is little, why should God entrust you with what is much? Amen. God works through his children whom he can trust. God works through his children whom he can trust. Let me ask you a couple of questions to find out if you are really trustworthy. Are you on time? Are you on time for church? Do you keep your word? When you tell someone you're going to do something, do you keep your word? See, God wants to train you by having you do the little things in life. If you cannot be trusted with the little things, you cannot be trusted with the big things. God wants to be blessed, and he wants to bless others. Amen. He wants us instructed. He wants us trained so that when we grow in Christ, we will be able to handle the responsibilities of kingdom living. Amen. See, God lives in the kingdom. Amen. And he wants us to be able to have responsibility to take care of the kingdom. God wants to entrust us with the things of God. But God can only trust us by our submitting to instruction. The reason some people have not developed any further along in the things of the Spirit than they have is because they refuse to submit to the Word, to be instructed by it. Because of that, they cannot be trusted. Now, please go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, we started off our teaching with that verse. Hebrews 12, verse 11. And it says, "Now no chastening, instruction, training, or discipline seem to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Now the phrase "yields to the peaceful fruit of righteousness" suggests that the results of God's chastening is peace and righteousness. And that word peace just doesn't mean shalom. It also means nothing missing, nothing broken. So when God chastens you and has his peace, that means nothing missing, nothing broken. That means that your life is wonderful. Your marriage is wonderful. Your children are wonderful. You are prospering. Your job or your profession is wonderful. Everything in your life is wonderful. Why? Because you have the chastening of God. Amen. And the phrase "have been trained by it" has the same basic meaning as "it will produce for those who will submit to God's chastening." If you are submitting to it, listen now, if you are submitting to it, it will produce things for you. If you are not submitting to it, it will not produce. You can have all the books and all the tapes in the world, but that is not what makes this work. You have to be faithful to God's word. Amen. You have to be faithful to God's word. That is how God will train you. Amen. That is how God will train and help you. Now, some denominations and church traditions will try to use the wilderness experience on you. Have you ever heard that phrase, the wilderness experience? But do not be deceived. Amen. Do not be deceived. They will teach that God will lead you through the wilderness to make you strong. It is one of those lies that have been promulgated down the years, and it is unscriptural and traditional. Now, the damaging thing about that is many people will believe an idea like that rather than the word of God. Isn't that something? Most people, or a lot of people, will believe that idea than the word of God. Let's look at some of these things, because I believe it will help to free some of you up, especially if you have something from your past that is hanging over your head. There are many people who think God will not forgive them for all the things they have done. That's right. They still have the guilt trip of things that they've done in the past. All the bad things that are coming against their life are because of all the bad stuff you did back then. So they chalk that up to the bad things they've done in the past. But God does not remember that you did anything bad once you come to Christ. Even if you commit mass murder, which I hope you have not, because no one should have that on his or her conscience. But no matter what you may have done, God will not hold it against you. He will not even hold the things that Hitler done against him if he sincerely came and gave his heart to the Lord. Amen. Once you come to Christ, God never reminds you that you ever sinned. And he will not put something on you in the future to make you pay for something you did in the past. We don't serve a God like that. We serve a God of love. Amen. Now, please go with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. Again, Jeremiah, chapter 31. And go to verse number 34. So that's Jeremiah 31, 34. And it says, "No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sins I will remember no more." Amen. There it is. God is saying, "And their sins I will remember no more." Now, it's interesting. God says, he says, "I will not remember them anymore." He did not say he couldn't remember them. He just said he wouldn't remember them. And then also, probably he says, "I will forgive their iniquities." Now, iniquity is something, a very interesting word, because iniquity is sin on top of transgressions. And iniquity came to the point where you know you sinned, you did it anyway, but it became pleasurable to you. It became pleasurable to your flesh, and you're going to do it. So God says he will forgive that. He will forgive your iniquity. Amen. So those things that you think you've done in the past, God said he will remember them no more. Amen. Thank you, Father. However, the devil will remember, and some preachers in the pulpit will cooperate with the devil by telling you that the Lord put that on you. God is testing and perfecting you. He is bringing you through the wilderness to make a better person out of you. And through it all, you will become a stronger person in the things of God. That's ridiculous. Do not be deceived. Now, it sounds reasonable, but we are not dealing with reasonable ability. We are dealing with faith in God's word. Amen. Going through the wilderness will kill you, graveyard dead. The children of Israel went through the wilderness for 40 years, and it did not make them stronger, but it killed every person 20 years old and upward, except Caleb and Joshua. Amen. In fact, God did not put the children of Israel in the wilderness. They put themselves there for their lack of faith and their disobedience to follow God's word. Amen. As a result, they had to go through the wilderness. Many of the trials, the tests, and tribulations you might be going through in life, God did not put them on you. In fact, the devil didn't even put them things on you. You are putting them on yourselves. The devil is just seeing to it that they are enforced in your life. And because we are on his turf, he is going to break your head with all sorts of disasters. Most of the negativity that comes into your life is a direct result from your rebellion against doing what God says to do, to submit to the word of God. You do not ever want to go through the wilderness experience because it can and will kill you. When you look at human history, the children of Israel will be the ideal case for what the wilderness experience can do to you. They had come out of Egypt, and the Lord worked miracles for them. They went through the Red Sea. The Egyptians that followed them were destroyed, and the children of Israel walked across an area called the wilderness and ended up on the banks of the Jordan River, looking across unto the land of Canaan. Now the Lord said to Moses, he says, pick 12 men, one from each tribe, who is a leader of that tribe, and send them to the land to search and spy it out and validate that it is exactly what I said it was, a land that flows with milk and honey. So God instructed Moses to choose one person from each tribe, but he had to be a leader, a man of so-called integrity. Amen. They were selected and they were sent out and were gone for 40 days. And after they returned, let's see what happens. So please go to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Again, that's Numbers, chapter 13. And we're going to read verses 26 and 27. And it says, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Showed them what? The fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So they brought back fruit, and they brought back milk and honey. So they validated God's word when he told them the land flows with milk and honey. Well, let's continue. They told the entire congregation that the land surely flowed with milk and honey, and they had their fruit as proof. They didn't say, we think. They did not say, well, it seems like. They said, it truly flowed with milk and honey. Now, we're still in Numbers 13. Let's begin reading verse 28 to 33. And it says, "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land, are stronger. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelled in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwelt in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea, along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overtake it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." Well, you know what? The clock is telling me that I am just about out of time for today's teaching. But please, I'm inviting you to join us next week, where we will continue our teaching on who God loves, he chastens. But until then, will you please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.